I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. Our rankings, our two-week rankings project continues right along. This week, we switch over and tackle, pun intended, the defensive side of things. Reminder, Sean Wagner-McGough, no longer with us in terms of podcasting. Presumably, he's still alive.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, but he, we said farewell to Sean in an episode of the podcast that features mailbag talk, and we read a bunch of his old tweets with like Jake. It's a good episode. You should check it out. It's a Super Friends app. It's up in the feed right now. All the offensive rankings from last week are still there, of course, and we will be knocking out the defensive rankings this week. We're going to start with edge rushers / defensive linemen. Or is it edge rushers and defensive linemen? That's right. You did both of them. So we're doing both, one before the break, one after, obviously. And to do it, one of the three remaining super friends, Ryan Wilson.
You forgot to point out after mentioning the farewell podcast to Sean Wagner-McGough that you thought it'd be a funny idea just to unfollow him promptly. So you and I have unfollowed him. We've given Breach the orders. We'll see if he'll do it. I think Debo's unfollowed him as well. How long will it take Sean to realize he's been unfollowed by his quote unquote friends? By the way, that's the type of friends we are. We say goodbye to you and then cut off all ties with you.
All right. So, first of all, Debo, did you also unfollow Sean per my, I don't want to say orders, per my request?
Yes. And, I guess it would be a real shame if fellow listeners did the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, great call, Devo. If you listen to this podcast and you like this podcast and you want to get in on the joke, unfollow Sean Wagner. He's not going to listen to this episode of the podcast. He'll listen to himself like six or seven times. So go ahead and get in on that joke and unfollow Sean on the podcast. It'll be a real fun time if you do that. And we'll have lots of laughs about it.
At the time of recording, 3,399 followers for Sean. Let's see what we can get that down to.
Oh, so he was at 3,402 when we started unfollowing him. All right. Do you think Breach will play along? He probably will,
yeah,
right?
He will.
Okay.
Worth noting, a man of the cloth is suggesting that we take Sean Wagner-McGough down in the most social media hysterical way possible.
You do hate to see it.
We will add back eventually in a few weeks' time. That's right. This is a test. It's like one of the tests out of the Bible.
So when do you think he'll notice?
Well, hopefully he does listen to the first 5 minutes of this podcast, and then he'll notice. Otherwise, if not, maybe someone on Twitter, after you unfollow him, say, I unfollowed you because Brinson told me to. Yeah. And he'll notice when he sees, because you know he maniacally checks what his Twitter follower status is. So once he sees it's going down.
My mother is FaceTiming me for some reason. I think she was supposed to do story time with my son. He's out of town at my in-laws. And my mom is repeatedly, can you hear that?
No. Story time on the Pick Six podcast with Will Prince's mother. That could be a segment.
She didn't get it. I declined it the first time. She kept calling back.
That's a parent move.
Yeah, all right, so let's set the over-under for when we get a text from Sean. Now, the question is, see, I think Sean will see this happen, and he will, like, if he realizes it, he will be like, oh, real funny, guys.
Yeah.
But I don't think he'd actually be offended if he saw that, right?
No.
If it were like just me or just you or just Breach, that would be weird. But when it's all of us, it's clearly a little gag.
He very well may be the most laid back among us. That even include Breach. Breach gets a little fired about few things, not many, but few. But Sean, he takes a lot. He took a lot of abuse from us. And the most abuse he took was on the way out the door with that coaching list where he got crushed by coworkers, Twitter, anyone who was half paying attention about the fact that he had Doug Peterson number 9 on the top 10 list.
All right. Speaking of lists that got people crushed, you did your edge rushers list, and you had left Von Miller off. Von Miller and Yannick Ngakoue both missing from the list, both tagged by our social media team in attempting to alert them to their absence of your top 10 edge rushers list. That resulted in a little brouhaha, office brouhaha, and subsequently the tags were removed. But the Broncos found out, Von Miller found out, everybody found out, everybody made fun of you for it. Can you stand by your Von Miller, the absence of Von Miller on this list, Ryan?
Yeah. No, I think it was funny that the Broncos, a short time thereafter when this list came out, retweeted the original list as put it out by CBS Sports HQ, and all they said was K, which is literally the like a slap in the face to anyone on social media. Just like, okay, whatever, dummy.
If I text my wife okay or K,
it's a big difference.
She gets pissed.
Yeah, that's right.
She's like, what did I do? What did I do? What's going on now? Are you mad? What is happening? I'm like, I just said okay.
It's funny. My wife was at the grocery store today, and she said I'm going to the grocery store with our son. And I could have said, K, okay. I just said, sounds good. Sounds good means knock yourself out.
Sure. Yeah. With the wives, you gotta, and maybe this, I don't know how this goes cross conversely with, from wife to husband. Maybe it's the same. I don't know because I'm not a wife, but you gotta really, I have a lot more enthusiasm in my texting than I do in real life.
Yeah, exclamation points. I don't use emojis, but I'm sure you do. But yeah.
Oh, I use emojis all the time.
Agree.
But yeah, I'm like, oh my God, that sounds great. Four exclamation points. And like in my inner dialogue is like, whatever.
Yep. But hey, that's part of the deal.
Yeah.
So as for this top 10 list here, I'll just do the bottom 10, the bottom five of the top 10 to give you an idea why Von Miller was left off. At number 10, Nick Bosa. I'm pretty sure he was defensive rookie of the year. If not, he should have been. He was really good. 9 sacks, Khalil Mack. Had a down year from 2018, but still a big part of that defense. So Darius Smith went off in his first year at Green Bay. Danielle Hunter is awesome in Minnesota. In fact, a lot of Vikings fans thought he should be higher. Shaquille Barrett had 19, maybe 19 and a half sacks. I don't have him in front of me, but he had the definition of a breakout season. He's on the franchise tag now looking for a long-term deal. So those are the bottom five. Von Miller had an off year. Part of the reason, I think he had a knee issue for a while, but the defense also didn't play very well. Your guy Bradley Chubb got hurt on the other side, so that was one less pass rusher for offenses to have to concern themselves with. Von Miller is 31, and that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Chandler Jones is also around that age, but he was number 11. So that was the most pushback, was Von Miller. I don't think I got one pushback on Yannick Ngakoue. I got a couple Frank Clark tweets, but Frank Clark – he got high towards the end there, but I don't think anyone would argue that he was better than the names I just mentioned. I know you were making the case for Von Miller in a podcast a few weeks ago, so I don't know where you stand on that now.
Yeah, I'm fine with – I think Yannick is – like he wasn't even in your honorable mention?
No.
Robert Quinn, Justin Houston, Trey Flowers, DeMarcus Lawrence. DeMarcus Lawrence probably would have made it on my list.
Didn't have a great year compared to previous years.
Yeah, it's weird too because you know we talk about these criteria.
And who you taking off is what I always ask.
Yeah, no, it's a fair question. The criteria thing is always odd because it's like, are you doing this for 2020 or are you doing it based on where they are right now? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the goal?
So it's looking ahead to 2020 and based on what they did in 2019. Now there's every reason to think that Von Miller will bounce back. That defense is going to be good. It should be good on paper. The offense is going to be good. And a good defense will obviously help Drew Locke. But I don't know who I'm taking off. Like someone said, Shaquille Barrett, because he just had 1 year. Yeah, he went off in 2019. I'm going to leave a guy off that had 19-plus sacks on one-year production, basically, just because I don't want to hurt Broncos fans' feelings because they left Von Miller. I don't think Von Miller cares, for being honest, Cam Hayward cared. We can talk about it in a little bit, but I don't know Von Miller. Von Miller didn't tweet at me, so that's a good sign.
I mean, here's the thing with Von Miller that, to me, to leave him off is not a huge... Well, first of all, by the way, to leave Yannick off, like, this guy doesn't even want to play.
I don't know why Yannick is in the conversation. I mean, he's a great player, don't get me wrong, and if someone of a team gave up a first-round pick for him, I would understand that, but just in terms of this list... Yeah, he had a strong season, but he's not. I don't think he had a top 10 season.
With Vaughn, so last year 8 sacks in 15 games. That's bad. That's the worst season of his career. Well, no, I take it back. He had in 2013 he had 5 sacks, but just 9 games. I mean, I think last year was the worst year of his career. And when you look at his contract, I mean, this is a guy who now is going to be. I don't know. He has turned 31. Turned 31 on March 26th. Happy belated birthday, Vaughn. And honestly, he's probably going to get cut after this year. So, I mean, he has a $22 million cap hit and $4.25 million in dead cap money. I mean, like, that's just sort of how it's going to go. So I don't really.
And you're saying that because of the money. He could have 14 sacks and still be facing.
Yeah, I just think he's going to be a 32-year-old pass rusher who's going to want a new deal and they're not going to want to give it to him, so they're probably going to move on from him. And it's weird because he's Von freaking Miller, and yeah. I get it. I mean,
he's a great player. I love him. But, I mean, maybe you replace him with Nick Bosa, but over the next 5 years, who would you rather have, Nick Bosa or Von Miller?
I mean, dude, 2020, who are you taking? I'd rather have Nick Bosa. I mean,
And Nick Bosa had 9 sacks last year, I believe.
That's right, as a rookie. The other guys... Zaire Smith was awesome. Daniil Hunter. I mean, yeah, I don't know who you take off. And I think that is a great point. Like, do you want to take off Khalil Mack? Because, you know, Von Miller could outperform Khalil Mack or Nick Bosa or Zaire Smith next year.
Khalil Mack didn't have a great season. But again, looking for 2020, 2021, who would you rather have?
Yeah.
You can take a Mack.
I think I'm with you, Ryan.
Von Miller 11. I mean, they're a worse fate for a 31-year-old and you know, one of the most important positions on the football field.
I
will read you my top 4, 5 through 2 before I get to 1. Joey Bosa was at number 5. Cam Jordan was at number 4. Chandler Jones was at number 3. Miles Garrett was at number 2. And one of the most surprising things out of this whole, endeavor is that no one complained about who my number 1 was, which I was pretty shocked by. Some people thought Chandler Jones, should be higher, 3 to 2. People thought Miles Garrett was overrated. Miles Garrett ain't overrated. The issue is he tried to hit Mason Rudolph in the head with a helmet. And I think if that hadn't happened, because he was averaging a sack a game. Cam Jordan's a monster. Joey Bosa, the health is always the concern. But at number 1, I had T.J. Watt. T.J. Watt, who was, I think, the 31st overall pick a few years ago. Who no one, you know, he was an afterthought in terms of pass rushers. And he just dominates. And when he's healthy, he is just about unstoppable. And he had 8 forced fumbles, which is mind-blowing. I think he had 2 picks last year, too.
Yeah. It's not hard. I mean, this list, there's just a lot of good pass rushers right now.
Really good. And it's funny. I was texting with a guy who trains a lot of these defensive tackles and defensive and edge rushers, and I said, just take a look at this because I don't want to get yelled at. And I was afraid. I mean, we saw what happened to Patrick Walker with his cornerbacks list. I was like, yeah, I don't want to have to deal with that for the next 2 months because people were very angry about some of his selections. And the only thing he said, he goes, it looks fine. And he trains all these guys. He said, I would just move Chandler Jones up because I didn't have Chandler Jones high enough. And I think you get – that gets lost, Chandler Jones playing on a crappy defense and in an area
that – this is before
– I put the list out.
You moved him up to 3 because this guy was pointed this out.
Right, before I published the list. I said,
okay, so he was like, what, 6 or 7?
I think it was 5, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, Taylor Jones is a monster, but he, like, doesn't get the buzz because he plays in Arizona.
Exactly. He's had 60 sacks, including 19 last season, since 2016.
I like the respect you put on Cam Jordan's name.
He's good. He's a grown man. But, again, he's 31. Chandler Jones is 30. So, where's Von Miller going to land compared to these guys who are still playing at a high level?
I mean, Cam Jordan's had his best 3 seasons of his career in his last 3 seasons. Like, he might – this is kind of – I don't know if this is a stretch or not. I mean, he's now played – he's never missed a game.
Mm.
This is coming up on his, I think, 10th year. He's going to play his 10th year in 2020. he's going to end up, if he has 10 plus sacks, he's going to get over, or if he has 13 sacks, which is, he had 15 and a half last year, he'll be over the 100 sack mark. He might work himself into the Hall of Fame conversation.
Oh, I think that's, I mean, he was a part of that.
I don't think it's a given, but I think he's working himself in there.
No, I think that's right. He was a part of that 2011 draft class that had 10 or 11 defensive ends drafted early. So it's Von Miller was at number two. Marcel Darius was number three, the defensive tackle. He clearly didn't pan out like they had hoped. Alden Smith, who's now back in the league. J.J. Watt, who was somehow went 11th, which sort of blows your mind. Robert Quinn, who was, as an honorable mention, as an edge rusher for me. Ryan Kerrigan. Corey Legit played inside. He hasn't really panned out. Adrian Claiborne, as I'm going. These are all first rounders. Cam Jordan, and then.
That first round is maybe the greatest first round of all time.
And then Cam Hayward is 31. So, I mean, that this group just, that was the year to get an edge rusher.
Or a wide receiver, Julio Jones, A.J. Green. Or a quarterback, Cam Newton, Blaine Gabbert, Christian Ponder.
Yeah, don't forget Christian Ponder.
Jake Locker.
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick. Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton. That's right. Andy Dalton went one pick before Colin Kaepernick.
That's right.
I would bring up the Pete Prisco tweet where he thought Christian Ponder was going to be better than Cam Newton, but I don't want him to do to me what he did to you.
He blocked me on Twitter. Monday. You know why he blocked us, right?
Because he hates you.
No. He blocked us. So Nick Costas and I decided we're doing this Scott Fishbowl, SF, hashtag SFBX, which is Scott Fishbowl 10. And we were encouraging everybody to tag Pete Prisco with their tweets and let him know who they were taking in the Scott Fishbowl, because he found it really annoying. So Nick and I were like adding him, and every once in a while he's like, his phone's like ding, 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 ding while we're like tagging him, and he just blocks us both.
That's, yeah, well.
What's more offensive, Pete blocking me or me unfollowing Sean?
You unfollowing Sean, because Pete had a reason for doing it. You were just antagonizing the old man.
Yeah, and Pete also told us, I'm blocking you both. I may unblock you after this stupid draft.
Did our buddy Chad Dukes ever refollow you? Yes. So I know he unfollowed you.
Yes. I tweeted him. I was like, are you kidding me, bro?
That's awesome. He can only take so much of your nonsense.
Out of these guys, who is the player that you think could fall off the list? And who is the player that could end up being number one on the list?
Well, Shaquille Barrett seems like the obvious choice to fall off because he had just the 1 year production. But maybe it just took him a while to put it together. And he's playing in that Todd Bowles defense, and Todd Bowles deserves a lot of credit for turning that defense around. But they have a lot of young playmakers as well. So he seems like the obvious no-brainer choice. I mean, Danielle Hunter falling off? No. Nick Bosa falling off if he's healthy? No. Khalil Mack, I just don't see it. Za'Darius Smith, I think he's awesome. He was awesome in Baltimore. No one knew about him, and he's awesome now. So yeah. Shaquille Barrett is sort of the glaring one. And who could be number one next year? Dude, if you said Chandler Jones was the best pass rusher next year, I would believe it. He's 30. He'll be 31. He just terrorizes people. And he has a chance to help his team maybe more than a lot of other teams. They play in that really tough division. But if he's harassing Jared Goff and Russ Wilson and Jimmy G, that's huge for Kyler Murray in that offense. I could see Myles Garrett being number one. I think that Browns defense is really good. And, you know, we'll see. You know, he said and did all the right things after he tried to knock Mason Rudolph out, and he after the, you know, the accusations of racist comments, we don't know where that stands. I mean, we don't know who said what. Mike Tomlin.
Oh, we know where it stands. It's not going to matter. Like, it's been close,
right? Mike Tomlin came to Mason's defense, so I don't know what to make of it, and so did some of his teammates. But all that aside, putting that aside and saying he plays 16 games, I think he's absolutely dominant. He was averaging a sack a game, so I mean, you can't get much better than that unless you're, you know, Shaquille Barrett.
One thing I would say, one guy I would point to, and I agree with you, either one of those two guys at two or three could jump to number one. Like, it's not like you're putting them there based on what they've done in the past. You're putting, like, they could also accomplish a lot. At number seven, Danielle Hunter. You did the list. So you may know this, but if you didn't, I wouldn't be surprised. I think a lot of people, do you know how old Danielle Hunter is?
Just 25 years old. Hunter has yet to hit his prime. That was my last sentence.
I guess you had to write it. You didn't just put a list together. You actually had to write it. I mean, he'll turn 26 in the middle of October. Now, the Vikings lost a lot on defense. Everson Griffin is gone. He's not coming back, right? Is he signed? He hadn't signed
yet. He's unsigned, so I think that's still up in the air.
Yeah, so I guess he could come back. But, I mean, I think they like, you know, Anthony Zettel maybe, but there's just not a lot of pass rush presence on the opposite side. So that is a bit of a concern. They lost Linville Joseph. He signed with the Chargers. So interior, you know, my point being is that Danielle Hunter's not going to have it as easy as he's had it the last few years, but he's only had three full-time seasons. His first 2 years, he wasn't playing full-time. In 2017, he had 7 sacks, and then 2 years ago, 14 and a half, and then followed up with it with 14 and a half last year as well. 2018, probably better overall than 2019, but both awesome seasons. He could just take a huge leap forward in age 26 season. Like, he's played 5 years in the NFL, and he is only 26. That's pretty wild.
Yeah. No, he is. I will grant you that. Two other names to watch in terms of who could end up on this list next year. Chase Young, because he's Chase Young.
That's a great call.
And Josh Allen, not the Buffalo Bills.
Ooh, yeah, Josh Allen, that's a good call. Yeah, because, anybody else?
Well, they drafted Kalyvon Chaisson as well. So that's another edge rusher they have there. That means Josh Allen perhaps gets fewer double teams or whatever. Yannick will presumably be there in some capacity. So I think Josh Allen has a chance to make sense. He had a good season last year too. He had 10 and a half sacks as a rookie.
Yeah. That's a great call. Okay. That's the edge rushers. Coming up after the break, we'll talk about other defensive linemen.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
So Ryan also ranked edge and just defensive linemen as a whole, I guess. Defensive
end, interior guys.
Interior guys, et cetera. So like, for instance, spoiler, J.J. Watt at number 9, a defensive end, technically qualifies, but he's a defensive end in a 3-4 scheme. So it's just the NFLPA, by the way, needs to do this. Like, you need to split out some of this stuff where, like, edge needs to be a thing. So when you vote for the Pro Bowl, you need to have edge. Like, what? Like, why didn't the NFL do this? You know the edge rushers exist. Anyway, random complaint. But for your list, just missed Dietrich Wise, Vita Vea, Malik Collins, Stephen Tuitt, Matt Ioannidis, and DJ Reader. Who was the closest to making it all?
I think it was Vita Vea, if I'm thinking back, because I did this list a couple weeks ago now. He quietly had a really good season. Again, playing for Tampa, former first-round pick. That much like the Cardinals, who we talked about before the break, that team gets lost in the mix. That certainly won't happen this year, and I think it won't happen for the Cardinals either. We'll all be paying attention to both those teams. But he quietly had a really good season, and if he has another really good season, this defense is going to be even better. So I'll do the bottom five real quick. Started with Javon Hargrave. A shout out to both Debo and BMAC, Brian McFadden, who we work with, because I knew I was going to have to go on HQ and defend this list against Brian McFadden, who's just on to shoot holes through everything you say. I thought that would placate him, but it didn't, and I'll tell you why in a second. Number 9, J.J. Watt, who, you know, you mentioned plays in 3-4. Calais Campbell, who sort of plays all over the place. He's now in Baltimore. He's getting along in the tooth, but still playing at a really high level. Number 7, Cam Hayward, part of that 2011 draft class we talked about. One of the best 3-4 defensive ends, kicks inside in the NFL, and I say that now because BMAC yelled at me about this on HQ. BMAC doesn't yell, but he got on me about it. And Cam actually tweeted that he wasn't happy with being number 7. I appreciate the competitiveness. By the way, Cam is busy calling out people at HQ. He called out Prisco.
Cam really likes CBS Sports HQ's Twitter.
He went on CBS Sports HQ with Minka Fitzpatrick and BMAC to blow holes in the fact, and rightly so, to blow holes.
And by the way, we should point out that he dunked on you with an office gift, which is your favorite show of all time.
He did do that. My favorite team, one of my favorite players, and my favorite sitcom. And Cam got the
No! Cam, I love it.
Well, at first I thought he had seen the edge rushers list and thought his name wasn't on there. But then, no, he was talking about the list I had him on. Fair enough.
I guess I get it why guys get mad that they're like seventh. I mean, I can see that.
Yeah. No, but here's what I will say. And six, DeForest Buckner, who was just traded from the San Francisco 49ers to the Colts. So that's the bottom five there. The top five, I think we can go through this. The number one isn't a big surprise like it was with TJ Watt for the edge rushers. Number five, Fletcher Cox. Four, Grady Jarrett. Three, Kenny Clark, who had a breakout season. Two, Chris Jones. And one, Aaron Donald. The only thing I will say, Cam Hayward is playing at an extremely high level. Who are you replacing him with in one through five? All guys who I'm pretty sure are still, I think Fletcher Cox is, all in their 20s.
Wait, sorry, say it again. I was panicking.
I know, you're doing something else.
I thought there was a breaking news happening. I apologize.
Oh, okay. In the one through five listed off, Aaron Donald, Chris Jones, Kenny Clark, Grady Jarrett, Fletcher Cox, who are you replacing to put Cam Hayward there? All those guys, I believe, Fletcher Cox included, are still in their 20s.
I mean, throw in DeForest Buckner at six, too. Like, who, why? I mean, Cam Hayward's awesome, but you're right. He's not leapfrogging any of those guys. Like, does he want to be, is this one of those things like when, oh man, who was the cornerback that the Jets drafted?
Oh gosh, the guy from, I know who you're talking about, the guy from Alabama.
D. Milner. And they're like, somebody's like, remember who's the best cornerback in football? He's like, I am. It's like, what? No, that's, what are you talking about? Yeah.
Once every 3 months, I'm reminded of D. Milner. I can never remember his name, but yes, the cornerback.
Is Cam Jordan going to be a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, I said earlier he was. Cam Jordan or Cam Hayward?
Cam Hayward, excuse me.
He'll be in the conversation. But again, that 2011, it depends on when these guys, you know, retire, but that 2011 draft class is stacked. JJ Watt's a Hall of Famer. How much?
Yeah, yes, he is.
JJ Watt. Have the, maybe I have it. Let's see. The career approximate value for JJ Watt is, oh, dang it.
I got it right here. Right.
Look at JJ Watt and look at Cam.
JJ Watt's, how did I lose it? He is 98.
That's pretty good.
Cam Hayward is, you know, I'm going to sort by approximate value. So, you know, the number one ranked guy in the entire class is Cam Newton, followed by Von Miller.
Cam Hayward, 65. Watt.
Yeah. Cam Jordan, 77, and then Cam Hayward, 65. I would think both guys are.
It'll be a conversation.
Richard Sherman's a Hall of Famer for sure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Patrick Peterson, probably a Hall of Famer. Maybe.
That'll be a conversation. I mean, yeah. He's still young.
Andy Dalton.
100%. He's a Sean Breach Hall of Famer.
AJ Green will probably get in the Hall of Fame if he has a few more good years.
He's hurt. Yeah, he's got to play well for a little.
So Cam, people don't want to put Cam Newton in. If he has a resurgent.
Wait a second. No, AJ Green's not, because Julio Jones is at 94 career.
Julio Jones is a slam dunk Hall of Famer right now.
AJ Green, they're coming out. You wouldn't have known who to take, and you would have been right to say, okay, AJ Green or
AJ Green went first.
That's my point. And you know, you didn't know, they were both really, 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 really good. But Julio Jones has distanced himself as an NFL player in part because he's been able to stay healthy and also because he's his
not,
life
not playing for the Bengals.
Not playing for the Bengals. Well, that helped AJ Green when he's healthy. But Larry Fitzgerald said on some clip that I saw on Twitter that Julio Jones is the best wide receiver in the NFL right now.
I saw that. He's not wrong. I think, so I don't think Cam Newton's a slam dunk to be in the Hall of Fame, even though
he's not.
Okay. Just saying.
The thing is, we can't let everybody in.
If he has a 2 or 3 year stretch with the Patriots where he's as good as he was with the Panthers, then he'll get in.
I think we had this conversation when Sean was employed by CBS about who was a Hall of Famer, who wasn't. Breach must have been on paternity leave.
But I'm saying this from the 2011 class, Von Miller's a slam dunk, J.J. Watt's a slam dunk, Julio Jones a slam dunk, Richard Sherman's a slam dunk, and Tyron Smith are a slam dunk. I think those are the guys who are slam dunks. I think, additionally, that you will see Patrick Peterson, Cameron Jordan, A.J. Green, Jason Kelsey, Cam, Hayward.
They'll be in the mix.
Get in.
And that's not to take anything away from Cam Hayward's career. It's just like it's a – Jarrell Casey is at 70 career approximate valuation.
Cam Hayward might have had the best year. He's like Cam Jordan. He's coming – like they're aging like fine wine.
Yeah, he is unblockable. Him and Cam Jordan have a lot of similarities.
I mean, his career, approximate value last year was 17. Phew. It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's why he's mad at me.
He had a ton of time. His best year, 23 quarterback hits, 9 sacks from the interior.
And that was without Stephon Tuitt, by the way, who got hurt, who's on my honorable mentions list, who, when he's healthy, is also really good. But he did that without him. Obviously, he had Bud Dupree and TJ Watt, which helps. He had Javon Hargrave, who is, I think, going to be awesome in Philadelphia. But, yeah, so I understand why he's angry. But again, Fletcher Cox, Grady Jarrett, Kenny Clark, Chris Jones, Aaron Donald, those guys balled out as well.
No, I think your point remains. It's like, who are you taking off for the 2020 season? Do you definitely think that Cam Hayward, who is at this point, just turned 31, is he definitely going to be better? He's not going to be better than Aaron Jones. I mean, Aaron Donald.
Well, Aaron Jones, I think we can all agree, is the best, one of the best players in football.
Of course. I would take DeForest Buckner over him. I can see him being better than Fletcher Cox or Grady Jarrett or.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, they play slightly different positions as well. So that's something to consider. But yeah, I love Cam Hayward. He is one of my favorite Steelers players. I think he's great for the community. And I think he says a lot of really.
Oh my God. We do have breaking news.
What is it?
Patrick Mahomes had a 10-year deal.
10-year deal. Let me guess what it is. 10-year. God, I got to do the math. $400 million.
The Chris Jones of the Kansas City Chiefs probably do some cash. You think the Chiefs will find it in their heart to pay Chris Jones before July 15th deadline?
Do they have any money to pay Chris Jones?
I don't know. They may have spent it all. We're recording this on Monday afternoon around 3 o'clock. You're probably listening on Tuesday. There'll be another podcast in the feed for where all the Chiefs money went. But if I'm Kansas City, I have no problem paying Chris Jones. He has been awesome. And for as good as Patrick Mahomes was down the stretch of the Super Bowl, I am not entirely sure that the Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl without Chris Jones, who, by the way, just turned 26 like 3 days ago. He's going to get a ton of money. Famous for once having his junk fall out at the combine while he was running the 40.
I love that you remember that. I always forget that.
Oh, yeah, his penis fell out while he was running
it the 40.
And perhaps his testicles. Yeah, so Jones, I mean, like, I just think if you're Kansas City, Jones and Frank Clark are the guys, and Honey Badger are the guys you're building around on defense, and Kelce, Mahomes, and Tyreek Hill are the guys you build around on offense, and Mitchell Schwartz, too. And you're going to contend for the next decade if you have those guys locked down.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? DeForest Buckner. Who's a candidate to fall off this list and who's a candidate to go to number one? Cause I'll say that DeForest Buckner is a sneaky candidate to go to number one if the Colts defense is like a top five or top 10 unit.
I think the defense is going to be good, but I was laughing while you were saying that because he could sack Deshaun Watson 50 times just given the way Bill O'Brien might scheme up that offense. So yeah, no, absolutely. I think it'll be hard to displace Aaron Donald, who is a grown man in every sense of the word. JJ Watt, can he stay healthy? That's a big issue. Maybe he falls off the list for health related reasons. I think Javon Hargrave has a chance to move up a little bit. Kenny Clark is the guy. Packers fans were quite happy that I was actually showing him some love, unlike Sean Wagner McGuff, who's been dunking on Aaron Rodgers for years. Packers fans appreciated that. So maybe he continues to make that climb up. But, part of me hopes JJ Watt falls off the list and he'll sign with the Steelers.
Mm. What? Maybe don't clip that one. Probably won't ever use it.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else that we should take away from this list?
No, other than it was a great list.
Everyone liked the list except for Cam Hayward. So great job by you, Ryan. Tomorrow we'll have top 10 safeties and cornerbacks. Make sure and check out in the feed, as we mentioned before, the Sean final dunking, and of course the Patrick Mahomes 10-year extension emergency podcast is in your feed. Thanks for listening. Talk to you guys later.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.